Old dog, timeless tricks. I had this epiphany as I watched our border collie, Rose, meander down the gravel road in front of me on our morning walk. Now in her 15th year, she was once the fastest thing on our farm, but time has slowed her gait. When did that happen? Rose was a surprise puppy. I was away for the weekend, and my husband Doug took our sons Tristan and Graham for a Sunday afternoon outing to see a friend's litter of puppies. This looking at puppies business is a misnomer. No one in my family is a puppy shopper. We are puppy buyers. And so an afternoon's diversion resulted in our first border collie, Rose. Oh my, she was a darling. Square like a cinder block, her body was covered with a fluffy black and white coat that stood straight on end, making her look a bit punk, a bit crazy. To top off the ensemble, she had one brown eye and one blue eye, called a china eye. That eye definitely got your attention when she looked at you. And Rose had a way of looking at you as though she was momentarily considering speaking, but was just pondering the right phrase. She never talked. She didn't have to. We knew what she wanted to do. Every living being on the farm knew. She wanted to herd. She started with the cats. Farm cats don't suffer fools gladly, really, what cat does. They knew from past experience that puppies were not things to fear. They were to be toyed with, pushed around, insulted, roughed up for their lunch money. Yet in seconds, Rose had 12 unflappable felines rounded up into a tight little ball on the patio, their tails twitching in the air above them. The snarling clump of kitties looked up at me with irritation and bewilderment. "What's all this?" they seemed to ask. Rose twirled a ballet of control around them, the front of her puppyish body low and menacing, her china eye staring them down with a stern, "don't even think about it" look. We called Rose off, or she would have collected farm animals in a circle for hours. When freed from their psychological imprisonment, the cats slunk off to their respective corners, muttering meow oaths under their breaths, with a distinct air of humiliation and resentment about them. Even as a puppy, Rose established herself as top dog, and it wasn't by size or fierceness. It was by savvy, speed, and eye. She seemed like a different species from our other dogs, Belle, a 100-pound Great Pyrenees, and Maggie and Duffy, mother and daughter Cairn Terriers, looked at Rose with interest and wagging tails and welcomed her into the pack. But neither of these breeds, or the way that they acted, prepared us for a border collie. Our giant white Belle was ubiquitous on the farm. Benignly stealthy, she seemed to be everywhere. Belle was there to see the kids onto the school bus. She was in the back pasture barking at coyotes. She was asleep on the front porch. In nearly every photo I took during her life on the farm, she was either just walking in or out of the frame. After she died, I kept seeing her figure like a friendly ghost, lumbering out of the lilacs, asleep in a sunny spot on the lawn, her most undemonstrative but omnipotent presence still lingering. Our terriers, Maggie and Duffy, were happy, alert, and in search of adventure all the time. They twitched when they slept. Individually, they were obedient, putting on this charade of loyal companion, looking you in the eye, a tail wagging. But together, they switched off their hearing and their hearts, and they headed for the hills. Doug once found them attacking a badger. A badger is a cranky animal, even on a good day, so these highly caffeinated dogs had him in high dudgeon. Too little to cause much harm, the Cairns had nevertheless worked Mr. Badger into such a rage that he was willing to take on Doug. We later referred to this incident as when the Cairns sicked a badger on Doug. So I wasn't really prepared for the quickness of Rose or the engagement of Rose. She ran everywhere. Why walk when running gets you there faster? She would run up to me and sit down at my side, quivering, staring up at me, waiting for a job to do. She hung on my every word, like I was just the most fascinating person in the world. But I rarely had enough chores to keep Rose satisfied until, that is, she was old enough to go to sheep herding school. Rose was simply a brilliant sheep herder. as her breed was created to do in the hilly Borders region of Scotland, Rose was eager and undaunted. She would run around to round up the ewes, her black and white body flashing a semaphore warning message. The sheep would catch one glimpse of her and panic, clump up, and run like one giant organism back into the barnyard. Rose followed close on their tails, urging them forward, steering them with precision in the direction she wanted. Doug trained her using the old Scottish sheep herding commands of come by, bring the sheep back in a clockwise direction, way to me, the opposite of come by, and that'll do, stop. But when I wanted to bring the sheep up from the back pasture, I didn't need archaic commands to jumpstart Rose to do the job. Go get them, I'd say, and she nearly stood on her hind legs and saluted me, then ran off out of sight. Moments later, a thundering flock of sheep flew up the hill with Rose in controlled but hot pursuit. I'd do a quick head count, realize I was a few sheep short, and call, "Look back, Rose," and she'd slam on her brakes, spin around, and head back out to find the remaining evaders. Watching Rose work the sheep was like watching a dolphin swimming or an eagle going in for the kill. She was splendid, all flash and fur, fueled by instinct, and loving every minute of it. You could tell she hated hearing the words, "That'll do." Stopping was what Rose liked to do least when she was in the sheep pasture. So sometimes now it's hard to recognize this slow-moving lass. Sure, she still likes to eye the cats, but she doesn't try to round them up. And we realized one day that she was stone deaf. But she's alert, accommodating, and engaging, if you catch her china eye with a waving hand. When we have new lambs in the spring, their larking presence stirs her up. She'll sit on the wrong side of the woven wire fence, body low, eyes locked on a lamb who hasn't yet learned the power of a dog. The lack of reaction doesn't seem to bother Rose. She is content to give the lamb a good stare down, then sashay back into her kennel for a long nap. Sharing your life with a dog is a good thing, and because of the odd inequities of lifespans, humans have the opportunity to live their lives with many dogs, and so I have taken that opportunity. Every connection that you make in life, even with a dog, teaches you something. And so here is the wisdom that Rose has imparted to me, that speed and superiority can come without swagger, that life is good if there's as much joy in work as in play, that true passion can ignite your life forever, and that you should never pass up the opportunity to sneak in a nap. And that'll do.